Just break the American Revolution. Isn't that amazing? Now, of course, most of us know that the American Revolution was about taxes, and it was about how they said that they wanted seats within the British Parliament. They said there's no taxation without representation, because if we don't have representation, then we're slaves. And so they didn't want to be slaves. And the British Empire said, yes, but you get affluence and security as British subjects. And Thomas Jefferson stood up and he said, no, I do not want to trade my freedom for affluence and security. Ha! And you know, sometimes the devil comes along and he says, you know, if you just trade away your citizenship in heaven, just go the way everybody else is going, which is to hell in a handbasket, but that's another story. Do whatever, just keep your mouth shut, and you will have affluence. You know, the praise of men and friends, and you'll have security, because nobody will not like you because you're not telling them what they're doing is wrong through your actions, your deeds, or your words. But the problem is that we give up our freedom when we do that. And we become slaves to sin and the devil. So right now, right here, I want you to make a choice not to give up your freedom. A lot of times, freedom is just the right to say hurt. That's real freedom. And when that freedom comes into your heart, I was telling a man at my work who wants to get saved and is starting to go to church with his wife, but he says, but I just can't give up my sin. It feels too good. And I was like, if only you knew the freedom of feeling the weight of all your sins come off your shoulders, you'll find that it feels better than any sin on this planet. You know that? What feels even better is saying no to the devil and yes to God. Because we were not created for this world. See, there is a rich young ruler. I call him the religious young ruler. He was a religious young ruler. Turn with me to Luke 18, or 18, Luke 18, verse 13, or Luke 18, verse 18. Now there was a certain young ruler who asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except for that which is God, but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard these things, you know, he looks at him and he just says, you know, you only lack one thing. This is a rich young ruler. And I bet you this rich young ruler was looking to write Jesus a check. I've had that happen to me before. I've been downtown witnessing and talking to a guy about Jesus, and the guy said to me, I know how to shut you up, and he gave me some money, and I threw the money back. No kidding. I know how to shut you up. Here's some money. I was like, forget about the money. Hey, have you ever? That's true. So the rich young ruler, is looking to write a check. He figures he can buy his way into the kingdom of heaven. What does Jesus say? Does anybody know what Jesus says? I love what Jesus says. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. I bet you didn't see that one coming. Huh? I don't think he saw that coming. Well, I don't want your money. In fact, take your money and give it away because it's a bondage. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And you can be one of my disciples. You can be in the Bible. You can do signs, wonders, miracles. Do you know how many people's name is John? How many Johns do we have in here? We have any John? Oh, yeah. See? There's lots of Johns, lots of Matthews, lots of Lukes. But I don't see anybody named after the rich young ruler. Right? That's right. You see, because Jesus was trying to say something through this. He's trying to say, I don't want your money. I want your life. Does that make sense? Jesus was trying to say, I don't want your money, but I want your life. To the rich. It says that he became very sad because he was very rich. And he walked away from Jesus. Which is ironic, because if he thinks that his inheritance was rich, he should have seen the inheritance that Jesus had for him. The Bible says that it's richness without measure. I know, I used to spend my life chasing after money for years. I was quite good at it. And God came into my life and rocked my world. And so where I used to have to drink myself to sleep because I had no peace. And even then I had problems sleeping. So I had to take drugs to sleep because I had no joy. And I walked around like a zombie, an angry zombie. Okay, maybe. You know, I discovered that there is no peace and no joy and no in serving the world and doing what the world approves of. Even the world knows it. I'll tell you another scenario. I'm in a warehouse. Okay? I'm in a warehouse. And there's this guy named, I won't mention his name, although he's a really good guy. Okay? And Mario's laughing because I got him a job where I used to work one time. And then he found out exactly how many people I was witnessing to. The same place I held the Bible study, about 14 people for a while. They shut it down, switched me shifts because of it. So, you know. But anyways, point being, was Gary, you know, he comes up to me and he starts talking to me. He says, you're a young man. You should be out there 10 girlfriends, and you should be listening to rock and roll and partying and doing all the stuff. And I just looked at him and I said, oh, wow. I said, are you married? He said, yep. I said, do you have kids? Yep. I said, do you go out and party every night? Nope. I said, did you ever used to? Yeah, when I was a young man, I used to do that. I said, why'd you quit all that? I don't know. I said, did you find any peace in it? He said, nope. Did you find any joy in it? Nope. So good, neither did I. That's why I'm serving Jesus now. And I'm doing the right thing. And you're not even serving Jesus, but you know in your heart that you need to do the right thing. That's why you only have one wife and you have a family and kids, because you're looking for love too. You know? After that, Gary got really curious about the Bible. And a couple years later got saved. Amen? Yeah. Because you were not made for the 9 to 5. You are made. You're not made for an income tax bracket. Praise the Lord. You're not made to be a rich young ruler trading your freedom for affluence and security. No. But you're made to sell all. Another man. I don't want to go to church because I don't want to give my 10%. You ever heard that one? I've heard that a lot. And I just looked at him and I laughed and I said, God doesn't want your 10%. He wants your whole life. He thought even matter, but he stopped. And he thought about it. Now, he was an angry trucker. I don't know if he ever got saved, but I dealt with a lot of angry truckers, being that I used to load and unload their trucks. But the point is, it's much like this rich young ruler. God doesn't want your money. He wants your life. Okay? And when he gets your life, you will receive an inheritance from God that's not of this world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You won't receive so much physical gifts, although some people receive the gift of giving. And somebody really, really blessed me this Christmas, and I'm really happy with that. They gave to me, and I was super, super blessed. And praise the Lord for the gift of giving. Some people get the gift of hospitality. Some people get other gifts. Where am I reading? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, if the rich young ruler had traded away what he had for what Jesus had, it's like trading a penny for a credit card with infinite amount of dollars. All of a sudden, you know, you're unplugged from the Matrix. Has anybody seen that movie? Good. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a movie called The Matrix where everybody's a slave to this machine. And we'll say that machine is sin. And then he gets unplugged from the machine and he gets to say no to the devil. But then when he gets plugged back in, everything is available to him. They're like, what do you need? I need guns. Guns come. I need cars. Cars come. I need clothes. Clothes come. Why? Because Jesus said in John chapter 10, I think it is, anything that you ask for me in the name of the Father, I'll give to you within your mission. Think about that. Right? So it's like trading a penny for a credit card with infinite amount of dollars, because all of a sudden you're plugged out of your own little resources and you're plugged into God's big resources in heaven. Ha! Don't worry, this has to do with love in our city. So therefore we make it known that one who's speaking by the Spirit of God, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except for by the Holy Spirit. So God actually leads you. And then there are the diversities of gifts. Verse 4, chapter 12, Corinthians. The differences of ministries, but the same in the Lord. There are diversities in activities, but the same Lord is working in all or through all. And there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God that is inside of all for the profit of all. You know, I'm not going to harp too much on this, but I really love like buying stuff that's free trade. I get free trade coffee, free trade, fair trade. Right? I watched this Walmart video a few years ago, and it cut me to the core because I was watching these poor Chinese people, and they were weeping and saying, don't you know that when you're buying this, you're buying our oppression? It doesn't mean that they can improve. Nike improved. Nike was a bad company, didn't buy anything of theirs for years and years, and all of a sudden now they've done all these reforms, and I can finally buy Nike again. Enough people said, I'm not going to buy that until you reform, and they finally reformed. But why would I do that? Why would I do that? I'm not going to talk long on it. Why would I do that? I'll tell you why. Because I really believe that you can be part of the solution or part of the problem. Like church. Oh, I've been hurt lots of times in church. You don't know how many times I've been hurt in church. Hurt and hurt and hurt. I could stay here all day talking about all the times I've been hurt in church by different people in different churches. At one point, I was like, oh, I hate church. I don't want to do church. It's all the same. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter. You're going to get hurt. You know what God said to me through that? Through all that hurt and all that pain, you know what God said? He said, you can be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a leader, and I want you to make a difference, and I want you to be an example for those who are hurting people. And I want you to give hope to those who are being hurt. Before that, you know what I was doing? I was writing checks. I was working 64 hours a week, and I was writing big checks to the church. And I was giving God my money, but I wasn't giving him my life. And then I got a prophetic word after that. And God said to me, I don't want your money, I want your life. Isn't that amazing? Actually, you know what the word was? Three people gave me the same word within 2 weeks. And the last person to give me the word was my senior pastor. God wants you to stop working overtime for money and start working overtime for him. Because I used to always say, oh, I can't get involved in church, I got to work. I can't do this thing, I got to work. I can't do that thing, I got to work. I can't do this thing, I got to work. Still doing it, but that's another story. Me and God are still working it out. Believe it or not. He's still saying to me, Jay, don't worry about that. Worry about this. And I'm like, okay, God. So anyways, the point being was, is I was a rich young ruler. I'm looking to write the check. And I'm praying the prayer. And God's saying, don't just pray the prayer and write the check, but become the answer to the prayer. Become the check. Become the receiver of the check. Does that make sense? And so you'll get spiritual gifts according to diverse ministries or according to your need, whatever God you need to do, accomplish whatever it is that God tells you to do, he'll actually give it to you. I know, it's true. I said, God, I need a church. Okay, here's a church. God, I need this, and he gives it to me. Every time I pray, God, I need this to do the work that you tell me to do, boom. I was doing a mission trip, and I said, God, I need bodies. So 30 people phoned me from Cornwall and said they wanted me to take them on a mission trip to Quebec because I couldn't find anybody here to do it. True story. I wanted to do 24-hour prayer, and basically what happened was a whole bunch of people, including Steve Long, told me, oh, we've tried to do 24-hour prayer before. You know what? It doesn't work because nobody will show up to it. So I said, God, I need some bodies. So I meet this guy, Pastor Alvin. He has a network of 20 churches that wants to do 24-hour prayer at the airport, and they want me to open it up so they can do it. All of a sudden, I have more bodies than I can. You get it? Yeah, the Matrix. God, I need bodies. God, I need some. Yeah. God, I need some gifts. Here, watch. God, I need some more anointing. Shh. Some people are given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and others get the word of knowledge. Others get faith. Who needs more faith sometimes? Who believes they need more faith? I needed more faith this weekend. Here's one. Veronique's mom, shoulders hurting. She's not really saved. She's on her way, okay? And me, I'm a helpful soul. I say, okay, can I pray for you? I pray for her. And then I get out my arthritis pills. So take these. They work for 8 hours. It would be great. She looks at me and she never takes the pills. I don't know why she never took the pills, but she never takes the pills. I'm like, oh, crap. At first, I was kind of happy. I was like, well, at least she took prayer and didn't take pills. Praise the Lord. And my wife is sitting at the table at this moment. She's, I wish you believed you would brag more about the prayer instead of those pills. I said, yeah, me too. I said, but sometimes I feel like the Lord lets me down a lot, but the pills haven't let me down. And then, it's true. This is the truth. And so that night, I'm with my Bible and I'm crying out to God, God, I want to believe more in prayer than your pills, than pills. Anybody ever do that? Good. We're all human. Praise the Lord. Be human being made superhuman in God. But, so what happens? The next day, is it next day or day after, Veronique's mom comes up to me and she says to me, I need you to pray for my shoulder again. Because when you prayed, it went away. So that's why she didn't take the pills. So I prayed for her shoulder, and as soon as the Holy Spirit came through her, she big smile, pain's gone, she's all happy. And I got faith to pray for healing some more. You know, and maybe I'll spend a little less money on pills. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we all get these gifts. And some of them are for prophecy. It talks about interpreting tongues, and some get the gift of speaking tongues. It says the same Spirit works them all. And then you go down to verse 12. I'm in verse 10 and 11 of verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, for the body is one and has many members. So you and I are the body of Christ. Did you know some people will never see the inside of the church, but they will see what a Christian? They'll see a Christian. Some people will never see Jesus Christ, but they will see a Christian. I had many people who said to me, I don't believe in God. They said, why? I can't see him. I said, yeah, he's invisible. I said, yeah. I said, the Bible says he's like the wind. They said, really? I said, yeah. I said, when you see a wind blowing on trees or a flag, you actually see the effects of the wind, right? I said, yeah. I said, well, I'm a Christian and the wind is blowing on me and you're definitely seeing the effect. And all of a sudden, they started believing in God and asking more questions. And they see Jesus Christ being manifest, like it says here, inside of you. Sometimes it'll come through writing a check, because it says that God will give you a gift of giving gifts. But a lot of times, there's a lot of other gifts that God has to give you that are even better. Yeah, you can write checks, but plug into the matrix and see what you can download. Does that make sense? I'm going to talk to you about who wants to go to the next level in God? I do.
You don't know how much fasting, praying.
Who else wants to go to the next level in God? Put up your hand if you want to go to the next level in God. Woo-hoo-hoo! All right. See, God can use you if you want to go to the next level in God. Okay. Now, I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he's still talking about the gifts, but he's talking about love, and he's talking about tongues. And I love this part because we'll go to 14. 1 Corinthians, it says, pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. Who desires spiritual gifts? I do. How would you not come to this church and not desire spiritual gifts? Because this is what we're all about. And some people might say of the airport church, you know, airport church isn't seeking the gifts or the spirit anymore, but they're doing all this evangelism outreach stuff. Okay. I'm into the new vision. I got the t-shirt, all right? And I'm still pursuing the gifts. And yes, I have the gift of tongues. We got a man here, he's from Germany. Are you from Germany? Yes. It's great because we were just talking about Christian, and he's a guy who was in my cell group a long time ago for about 2 years. Really great guy. You remember Christian. And he wanted the gift of interpretation of tongues. Yes. We prayed for about 6 months, and finally he got it. Remember that? When he got it, he was so happy. Then he started getting all these visions and all this other stuff. Earnestly desire the gifts. Because the Bible says here, it says, desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue and not of a man, to a man, but to God, for he, no one understands, but he utters mysteries and he edifies himself. And that's really great. You can edify yourself. That's great. Very good. You know how to clean your room and dress yourself. Praise the Lord. Some people, that's a tough thing to do in Christianity. God's still changing diapers. 10 years in Christianity. Oh, what a good God we serve, eh? Anyways, for those who don't get that, sometimes we get lots of stinky unforgiveness and bitterness and frustration, and we refuse to let it go. And so rather than coming to God and asking for forgiveness and forgiving somebody else, what happens is God has to come with his grace and his peace, and he kind of disarms us. Oh, there's more of that grace and peace. Ha. And he changes our stinky diapers. Still changes my diapers every once in a while, so. Hey. Okay, good. Does. He does. Praise the Lord that he does. Praise the Lord that he does. That he is that merciful and that good. So, back to the scripture verse here. Verse 14, Corinthians. Verse 2. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhort and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue, verse 4, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies a church. Whoa. Stop there. Edifies the church. Who wants to edify the church? See, that's the next level. Okay? You can prophesy and seek God and be filled and edify yourself and be lifted up. That's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you get to the point where you're so filled that you become overflowing with the Holy Spirit and with gifts, that's where the next level is. That's where it is. That's where it's at. Because then you start getting words of knowledge and healing for mother-in-laws. And you start bringing people to church. Because once they get a taste of what it is that you have, they're going to say, I want more. Where'd you get that? Tell them you got it at TACF Midtown or any other church, as long as it's Holy Spirit filled. You got it at Jesus Christ. www.jesus. I guess. If they don't like that, just say loveourcity.com. .ca. Whew. Thanks, guys. You know, it goes on to say here. Hold on, I'm skipping through the verses here. Trying to make it not boring. Shukubrababa. So, see, if you speak in tongues, and nobody understands what you're saying, and you're edifying yourself, that's good. But if you start prophesying, let's see. Okay, ready? I believe that one day God is going to use you because he's given you a heart for youth and for kids. Right? That's right. And God is going to use you to raise up youth and kids to experience freedom, the kind of freedom that I've been talking about. And I honestly tell you right now, you've been saying, God, where are these people? And God is going to start showing you people who you're supposed to talk to. And he's actually going to send you people within the next 6 to 8 months. Get ready. You're not even going to have to go anywhere and do anything. The Lord is actually going to just send you people as you go along. And all you have to do is be faithful. Open your mouth and God will fill it. And that is a big answer to prayer in your life because you've been asking God for boldness. Yeah. See? It works. That's the next level. Now, the good news is you can edify a person or you can edify a city. You see, our theme for this year is love your city. Love your city. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. Oh, scriptures. Yeah. That's the fine print. We want to love our city because God will bless us and prosper us if we love our city. That's what Jeremiah says. How will God bless us and prosper us if we love our city and work less overtime? I'll tell you how. Like the rich young ruler, you'll unplug from your own resources and you'll plug into Jesus' resources. So you won't be a slave to the matrix anymore. Does that make sense? And you'll be finally free. Who here has been crying out to God for more freedom? Good. Here it is. Here it is. You are going to be free to prophesy, free to praise, free to say no to the devil and yes to God. Woohoo! And you know what I love about freedom? You know what I found about freedom anyways? I found the more you do it, the more you get of it. How does that work? I'll tell you how it works. I'm talking about Jesus at work or at home. And I'm just about to do some kind of sin and my mom or my aunt will say, hey, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you? And I said, yeah, you're right. No, devil. So I get more freedom. I'm like, praise God. He kept me from that sin and the rotten consequences of it. Because everyone knows that you don't just do sin, you pay for it. Right? You know, if you want someone to love you and you sleep with a whole bunch of girls, chances are you'll find no one who loves you. If you want someone to be generous to you because you feel like you don't have anything, if you start stealing, you'll find no one generous to you. And so on and so forth. Think of a sin and think of the outcome of the consequences of it, and you'll find out it's always bad. But anyways, back to freedom. You'll get freedom. And the freedom will actually snowball. You know, like this gentleman here, prays for boldness. As he's praying for boldness, his heart is breaking for young people. And God says, guess what? I'm going to send you young people. Just open up your mouth and I'll fill it. Get it? And as he goes forward, he'll find more and more and more and more young people will start coming to him. I know. I've been down that road. I had my car full. I had my car and my grandma's car full of people coming to church. We used to bust parties and 6 and 7 people would get saved and I'd bring them all to church. So, you will get these gifts and you can learn to love your city and you can edify a city, and you can go to the next level in God. And you'll become part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. Because I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, not just in my church, but in the world. And you can add to the despondency. Despondency is a big word. Do you know what despondency means? Basically, it means misery. So if you're doing something that's causing somebody else to feel bad or be bad, that's despondency. That's misery. And in economics, there's something called a spiral of despondency. One misery leads to another. He hit me, so I'll hit him. So we both got black eyes, and now he's mad, and he doesn't really want to hit me because I'm going to hit him, so he's going to hit the other guy. That's despondency. That's awful. But you can be part of a cycle of prosperity. How does the prosperity work? You know, I've got this, let's see. I've got amazing pie-making skills. Where's Bridget? Is she here still? I don't know if she's still here. Anyways, or I've got this amazing cooking skills for making Jewish cookies. For those of you who are new, Alicia is a voracious cookie maker. So, anyways, I got this amazing skill. And so, but there's more cookies here than I can eat. So I'm going to take what I have and give it to the poor who don't have the cookies. You know what's happened after that? Since then, there's been... Natasha has problems with hospitality because she has to turn people away all the time. We were bringing all kinds of stuff. Because we don't have enough people, although I really feel this year the Lord's going to solve that problem. And so... prosperity hits. So she gave a cookie and I have more than enough cookies, so I'll give a cookie and he has more than enough cookies, so they give a cookie. It works the same way with love and the gifts of God, people. I got a prophecy and now I'm seeking God for prophecies. Now I got more than enough prophecy for myself, so all of a sudden I got prophecies for my friends and neighbors, and then they get a prophecy and then they're seeking God, and then all of a sudden they got more prophecies for themselves. And then you'll see. Yeah. And the whole city is edified and built up. And we go to the next level. Yay! We all said we wanted to go now. I saw you. You're all excited. And you become like Abraham. I don't know how to go back. Abraham looked forward to a city. You become like Abraham. You inherit the nations, especially this city. Now, oh, I love this verse in Revelation. I had it marked off last night. Did you know that heaven is a city? It talks about it in Hebrews. The heavenly city. We won't get there yet. That's later on in Steve's notes. It's cool. I wrote the fourth sermon in the series, so don't worry. It's going to be really good. So of course it's going to be good. I wrote it. Anyways, he wrote it through me. That's what makes it good. At least the parts that he wrote will be good. All right. So, Revelation chapter 9. Oh, hang on. Plagues. Oh, Revelation 7, chapter 9. You can tell I'm dyslexic, eh? So, we break off dyslexia right now in Jesus' name. Ah. God's going to heal me of that one too. So after these things I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude, and no one could number all the nations, tribes, and people, and tongues. were standing before the throne with white robes and palm branches, crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne." And the angels stood around and the elders stood around and they praised and they worshiped God. How many know that if this man starts getting more prophecies than he can handle, he starts handing them out, or teachings for young people, and he starts handing them out to people that God sends them, that he'll have a whole group of people doing that. And there'll be a multitude. And he won't be just praising God, but a lot of people will be praising God. Do you know what I describe that as? Heaven coming down to earth. It's amazing. I discovered this a long time ago because I used to go to the Baptist church. And I love the Baptist church. We were there on with my mom's Baptist church, and they witnessed to me and they welcomed me. And a lot of times I smelt like beer and a lot of other things that I shouldn't have smelt like because I'd been out partying all night, but I'd run to church the next morning because when God was saving me, he made it so that I had really, really bad luck unless I went to church for a little while before I got saved. It's my grandma's prayers and my mom's prayers and my aunt's prayers, and they all go to that church. Kate met my family. She came to my house Christmas, so. And, the point being was they have this thing at that church. Nobody does nothing in that church. Everyone does something. They do wheelchairs. It's a small church. It's only 50 people. It's been that way for years. Sometimes 100. Did you know that at the Oshawa General Hospital, you know what church runs the chapel room? My mom's church. For the wheelchairs, there's a house with people who are mentally handicapped. Do you know who does the ministry there? My mom's church. They've been doing it for 20 years. There's countless things I can tell you within that community that my mom's church does. And they're working. And they always say, they used to say to me, this is what they said about the Pentecostals. They said, "Oh yeah, the Pentecostals are really good at raising their hands and stuff on Sunday, but when it comes to Monday, they're not doing anything for God. So they're not really serving. They may be praising, but they're not worshiping," is actually what I've heard. Right? And then the Pentecostals, they were the opposite. They were like, "Oh, the Baptist church, they're really good at works and serving, but they don't know how to praise God and worship God." Has anybody heard that in a Pentecostal church? I have. Well, the good news is they're both right. They're both right. God wants to bring us to the... You know what the next level is? Is when you learn how to serve God and praise God at the same time. It's called praise and worship. And it's not just meant for Sundays. It's meant to be a lifestyle. It's called praise and worship through your life. And when you get there, that's when you get to the next level, because if you serve and serve and serve and serve and you don't like praise and worship, like that's why we're renovating our church at airport so that we can do 24-hour prayer meeting. Why? Because we want to get the praise right. We got the praise good. And we want to do the worship. So we're getting involved in all kinds of charities. Because you need a left wing and a right wing to fly. Who wants to fly with God? The Bible says you will walk and not grow weary. You will run and not grow faint. You will rise up on wings like eagles. I've done the walking. I've done the running. Who wants to rise? I want to rise. I want to rise. I want to rise. I want to rise. That's why I'm so excited about this vision. That's why I've been bugging Pastor Steve about it for years. And so is Mike. Thanks, Mike. I want to rise. I want to see the church become the hands and feet of Jesus. And so, if you want to walk and not grow weary and run and not grow faint, see, the thing is if you working, don't praise, you become tired. And you get burned out. If you praise and you don't see anything happening within your community and you see no change, guess what happens? You get tired and you burn out. I know, I've done both. I've been on both sides of that fence. But if you praise and you work, you don't get tired and burned out. Actually, the Holy Spirit comes underneath your wings and he lifts you up. For the joy set before you. Now back to this city. Did you know that in this city we have something called Heaven's Rehearsal? We used to have it. We had it for 5 years. Does anybody? I was trying to get video clips of it, but I couldn't get any. Any workable ones. Heaven's Rehearsal is when they have... See, if you call the city hotline... What happens is that they say, which language would you like to speak? There's 200 of them. They've estimated that almost every dialect, right, that's underneath the face of the earth is in Toronto. Even some that aren't written down. Isn't that amazing? So who feels that this city vision isn't for them and they feel called to the nations? If you do, good! Because the nations are here. You want to go to Afghanistan? There's an Afghanistan community, a huge neighborhood. I know, because we went there 3 years ago. Remember that? Does anybody remember when we went to the Afghanistan neighborhood? It's downtown, or sorry, it's in Scarborough. And it's apartment buildings that are super, super high, like 20 feet high, filled with all fresh immigrants straight from that country. You want to minister in India? Go to the Indian neighborhood. You know what the great part about that is? They all speak English. You don't have to learn their language. You know what's even better about that is? That they all speak their own language. So not only when you speak to them in their in your language, they get to speak to their friends in their language. And that spiral of prosperity begins to start. And you're speaking in tongues and not even knowing it. See, in this city, it's full of people. 18%, 3% of the world's population lives in cities. In the 1800s, only 3% lived in cities. Now, in 2006, 50% of the world's population live in cities. Now, 2030, 65% of the world's people will live in cities. Want to reach the nations? Here they are. You want to go to the next level? Here it is. This is the place to be. Worldwide immigration to cities is setting the stage for the Christian missionaries' finest hour. Why? Because we don't have to so much go to the nations anymore. The nations are coming to us. I know. I've experienced it. I've had my basement full of Muslims. I've had rooms full of Hindus. I've witnessed to them. Some got saved, some didn't get saved. I've even had a store at 2 o'clock in the morning with about 5 or 6 homosexuals all quizzing me about Jesus. They're hungry. They're hungry. And God is making it easy for us. Praise the Lord for missionaries. Missionaries are good. But God is so desperate to save the nations that he's actually bringing the nations to us. I really do believe that. And you know what? I honestly believe that if you evangelize the nations here, some of those people will be called to go back to their own nations and evangelize them. Toronto, in particular, in the GTA, 45% of the population. Think about that. And accounted. These are stats here. They are immigrants from other places speaking different languages, speaking in tongues. Who wants to speak in a tongue that edifies? I want to speak in a tongue that edifies, not just my church, but my city. Because when I do, God will give me the nations. This is why I've been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching about getting out of our comfort zones. Oh, sure, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, you don't have to watch it. I'll just explain it to you. When he got unplugged, he wasn't very comfortable. He puked, actually, and he was in shock. But then there's this joy about being free. And then you get all these crazy downloads. You get all these gifts from God. And you get a joy and a peace from being free that you never, ever, ever got from having affluence and security. Think of that. Next slide. Toronto has a higher population of seniors and a lower proportion of younger children than GTA neighbors. 14% of the population is over 65 compared with 10 throughout the GTA. What does that mean? You might think that that's bad, but that actually means that a lot of the people that are here are first-generation immigrants. Percent of Canadians live in a city. 96% of them are visible minorities. And there's more and more new people coming to Canada, and the first place they come is cities, namely Toronto, Montreal. Montreal is not our problem yet. After we get this city saved, we'll probably do Montreal. Yeah. So, the GTA has the highest proportion of visible minorities of any city in Canada. Vancouver is second. 22% of all new Canadians live in Toronto. 40% of Torontonians are visible minorities. Over 200 distinct ethnic groups live in Toronto. That makes us the most multicultural city in the world. Who here feels called to nations? Who here wants to receive the nations as their inheritance? Who wants to go to the next level? I do. Good, then you're in the right place. God has blessed you. Congratulations. The fields are ripe. Linda Cho. You guys know who Linda Cho is? Dumpkin? Her and her husband are going to be our next senior pastors. Well, they were named by Stephen. Anyways, what's going on? That's changed now? Oh. Yes, they're going to be the campus pastors of Airport, the big church. Right? Okay. She started working in a secular environment for an airline. And she said to me, JJ, you're right. The fish are jumping into the boat. So many people are asking me to pray. There's even this Hindu lady. She says, I pray to Jesus, especially for you. And she's getting saved. And she's just telling me about all these people that she's ministering to. All because she just had the boldness to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. She decided to get out of her comfort zone, give up her affluence and security for freedom.
And boom, 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 boom. God just started pouring out on her. And the gifts are there. And we are the most multicultural city in the world. So if you want to inherit the nations, here you go. Here it is. The inheritance is there. It's like there's a room full of gold. All you have to do is bring your bucket. You have a heart for South Asian? Good, 12%. You have a heart for the Chinese? Good, 11%. You have a heart for Africans and black people? Good, 8%. I know, at my work, Filipinos, 4%. Latin Americas, 6%. I had a cell group, and in my cell group, I had black people, I had South Asian people, I had Chinese people, I had German people, I had Filipino people, and they all spoke different languages. I had Latin American people in my cell group, too. The nations were right in my living room. Latin America in particular is the fastest growing group, and it's interesting because I met the guy who's in charge of 100 churches in Latin American churches in Toronto. Really good guy, on fire guy, hungry guy. He said his churches are just exploding, and they really, really want the gifts and the manifestations of God. And there's the stats for the estimated cities, largest cities in the world. Cities need to be prayed for. Toronto is 50. And the GTA is actually growing by 7. Wow. Think of the harvest of souls. Pray for your city. Pray for yourselves and ask the Lord to take you to the next level in God. Some more stats. Because God loves cities and He has messengers for them. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I gave you. The whole city repented and got saved at the words of Jonah. I don't believe because Jonah was a special guy. Maybe he had an amazing testimony. He was swallowed by a whale, spit out. He didn't want to be there. But I bet you when he spoke, there was an anointing that hit those people and cut them right to the heart. Yeah, so he went and he proclaimed it. And he took it. Think about that. Jesus looked at Jerusalem and wept. Said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Do you look at your city and weep? I have lots of times. Do you look at your life and weep sometimes in your heart? And say, God, I want to be more free? Did you know that that cry inside your heart that says, God, I want to be more free, is the same cry that God has when he looks at the city and says, I want to see it saved? Do you know that? When you feel that emptiness and that pain and that anguish for your own walk about Jesus in your heart, that's also the same pain, the anguish and emptiness that God sees for the city, for the people that are around you. He wants to see you free. That night, when I was complaining to God about pills and stuff and a whole bunch of other things, you know what the Lord said to me? He just kind of calmed me down, changed my diapers. Sorry. And he said to me, he said, Jay, the reason why the devil is fighting so hard is because he knows, and it's not just, I believe this word is not just for me, but it's also for you, is that It's not just you that the devil wants to stop, but every person who wants to be blessed through you. It's not just you that the devil wants to stop, but every person that God wants to bless through you. Where is Art? Is Art still here? No. Nuts. I said that to him a couple weeks ago. And I really, really do believe that God's word is the same today as it always has been. You know, he wants us to build houses and settle down where we are, plant gardens, pray for our city, work inside of our city, and prosper in the Lord. You know, because our prosperity will mean that the city is prosperous. Because the other word for prosperity is spiral. Well, it's a spiral of prosperity is what it talks about. Our prosperity brings, you know, remember the thing about the cookies? She makes cookies, he makes cookies, he makes cookies, he makes cookies. All of a sudden, Natasha's like, no, no, too many cookies. Same thing. You get a gift, he gets a gift, he gets a gift. All of a sudden, there's so many gifts. And boom, we have heaven on earth. Pray to the Lord for it, because God will also prosper you too. Amen. We're just going through. Yeah. God has a reward for those who seek him diligently. I'm just going to end this. Who here feels like they want to go to the next level? Just stand up. Who wants to have the gifts of God, not just for yourselves, but for those around you? Oh, there's Art. I didn't see him. Who wants to not just prophesy in a way and such to edify themselves, but to prophesy in a way to edify those around them? Who wants to be filled to overflowing?